So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
LouisvilleRadioNetwork, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where we try to keep it real and keep everybody honest. I tell you what, it's hard to find anybody in government that's honest, but we're going to do our best. You know, I tell you, there's always so much going on. So many things are completely out of control in this country and in this city of Louisville and right here in the state of Kentucky, and you know, nobody does anything about it. That's where we come in. You know, we're trying to get things under control. We bring you the message. We bring you the truth. And hopefully you guys will respond accordingly, which brings me to Mr. Dale the Truth Gillespie. How are you, sir?
Great, my friend. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I survived another week since we last talked under the Obama regime, so I guess that's a good thing. I mean, I'm not in jail today, so that's a good thing. I don't know. I guess things are okay. You know, we've got a lot of things going on. We're going to get into some national issues tonight, but there are a couple of local things I really want to point out. First, Louisville Metro Police Viper Unit put out something. You can read the story over at WFPL.org. But they put out a statement that they have helped reduce violent crime in 9 out of 10 areas that they've targeted, and they've also confiscated over 270 illegal guns, half of which were in the hands of convicted felons. The problem is these numbers come from Deputy Chief Yvette Gentry, who we all know is about as crooked as it comes, working under Chief White previously, now under Chief Conrad. And I don't see anything where the Viper unit tells us what 10 areas, these so-called 10 areas are that they're targeting, and giving us any numbers at all to back up their statement. So You know, does this mean that Louisville Metro Police are actually making gains in crime against criminals? Or does this mean that Louisville Metro Police are just harassing more innocent bystanders just because they can, because they haven't given us any information? Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And we're seeing a lot more crime reports the last 2 weeks in Louisville. My gosh, it's Louisville's attempt to do its best imitation of Chicago. So we're having more crime. And that one statistic they don't want us talking about, more black-on-black and black-on-white crime. And I don't see where they're really making the dent. If there was no crime in Louisville, I'd say maybe they've accomplished something.
Well, see, and that's it. But, you know, the reality is, you know, we're continuing to get more and more crime reports every night on the evening news. That's what mainstream will show us. That's not even counting the stuff that we have to go to alternate news to get, or we have to find out on our own or through our own investigation. So I'm not buying that they have helped reduce violent crime in 9 out of 10 areas that they've targeted. For one thing, they didn't identify the 10 areas that they've targeted. And for another, have you ever seen a situation where a police unit or any government entity, when they go out there touting that they've done something great, that they don't back it up with evidence of their statement?
The problem I have, and this goes back to several years ago when my own Senator Dan Syme, who I know you're very familiar with, and our good State Senator Dan Syme, several years ago made an issue out of all the unserved warrants and all the unserved documents that they are sitting on down there at the Hall of Justice down there. So, again, if we have all these unserved warrants and unserved documents on people who have more heinous crimes, quote unquote, why are they out there trying to catch you and me going 8 miles over the speed limit? Why are they out there trying to watch if we have our seatbelt on if they have all these warrants that they're not going out and enforcing?
Well, because that's the low-hanging fruit, man. That's money.
Yep.
They give you a seatbelt ticket, you get $25. Forget that it's going to cost thousands of dollars for that criminal who just held up somebody or killed somebody. You know, they don't care about that. They get that quick money. But it's just interesting to me and kind of disturbing because, you know, in the past, anytime we've seen statements like this out of LMPD or anybody, we've always been given information to back it up, and they haven't even identified the 10 target areas publicly. You know, maybe it's on their website. You know, who knows? But I've never seen an article put out like that, especially by people over at WFPL who are pretty good about getting the facts. Not having that information available. And so I kind of find it interesting. And, you know, the whole world knows where I stand on Yvette Gentry, so I think that's got a lot to do with it. A second thing going on locally that we're going to have to pay attention to, construction on the multi-billion-dollar Ohio River Olmsted Dam, we're now being told is going to stop in January. If Congress fails to increase the spending limit for the project, and basically it's going to put about 600 construction workers out of work, you know, and it's going to set back the whole project, the federal project, which is right around Olmsted, Illinois, Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky, and everything else, at least another year. And, by the way, it's going to add $80 million more to the project, which right now is supposed to be around $3 billion. Here's my thing, though, because Congress has balked at the $3 billion prices. They don't want to do that, you know. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Army Corps of Engineers actually revised their costs in 2011. This thing started at $1.7 billion. And now the Army Corps of Engineers in 2011 revised it to go up to $3 billion. And Congress is starting to balk at that extra $1.3 billion. And it's one of the few things I'm actually happy about Congress with. You know, why does the price tag have to continue going up? It's up almost, you know, 100%. Over what they sold it as. So, you know, we're going to pay attention to that and see how that affects everything going forward. We won't know more about that till later in the year. Now we get into some national stuff, man. This is stuff I know you're going to love, and I'm looking forward to having a discussion.
Right.
Jesse Jackson Jr.
Yes, I was hoping you'd go there.
Yes, well, we got to take care of the locals first, man. But Jesse Jackson Jr., as everybody knows, pled guilty to felony conspiracy. He misused about $750,000 in campaign funds. His wife, Sandy Jackson, had pled guilty to not reporting about $600,000 in taxable income to the IRS. Well, they both pled guilty, and as far as I'm concerned, they both got sweetheart deals. Jackson was facing up to 5 years in jail. Today, he was sentenced to 30 months of prison, 500 hours of community service after he gets out of prison, and he'll be on supervised probation for 3 years. Sandy Jackson, his wife, received a 12-month sentence, and she'll have a 12-month probation when she gets out as well. But here's the interesting thing. This is what's really fascinating to me. According to Judge Berman, Amy Berman Jackson was the district court judge in this case, there's really going to be no restitution from the campaign fund or to the campaign fund. She said the prosecutors failed to be clear enough in asking for Jackson Jr. to pay restitution and make forfeitures. So essentially, the Jacksons aren't going to lose anything. They're not going to have to sell their house and all this other stuff. And the other side of that is Sandy Jackson apparently may still owe the IRS about $170,000. So we're trying to figure out. I'm glad the judge did something, I guess, okay, because I didn't expect them to do a lot. At 30 months for a Jackson, that's pretty good. You know what I mean? So you get
that's
30 months for a Jackson,
that's
pretty good.
Yeah, for a black liberal politician, that's a long time. I mean, like I said, Louisville wants to emulate Chicago. Maybe we should, well, we can't do what Chicago did because we let our black politicians off the hook when they steal money. So it's okay to steal money in Louisville, but in Chicago, that's saying a lot. If you can get a Jackson and a black liberal politician and a Jackson to boot, to get him and his old lady to go to prison, that's not a bad day.
Well, it is, but I do have to tell you, I don't agree with you on the Louisville going to get a black person, because remember, we did impeach Judy Greene, and, Judy Greene, Jim King was the first person I went after. He's the richest white guy that controls the council in Louisville. Judy Greene was the second person I went after. We were successful in getting her impeached. So we have impeached, and fired, a black liberal in Louisville.
Well,
so it's not always
right
that
now,
way.
Well,
you're looking at Barbara Shanklin's case.
Yeah, Barbara Shanklin, I say we, the corrupt other co-council members of hers let her off the hook. And you can make the argument, I mean, if I was in the Judy Greene family, I'd be looking at a possible lawsuit because the stuff that Shanklin did far exceeds the corruption of Judy Greene.
Well, I totally agree with you there. I totally agree with you there. And I've already put that out in an article and stuff as soon as the decision came down. I hope the Judy Greene family does to take action, because the stress of that certainly should have been a key contributor to the massive heart attack that took Judy Greene's life. And, if they did that way and didn't follow through this way, then we've got a problem. Let's go to phones real quick. This is our 772 number. What can we do for you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? This is me,
Sean.
How are
you,
sir?
Doing?
Hey, it's all good, man. I just saw the thing about the Jesse Jacksons. I just knew that you was going to have this conversation on your show, so I just chimed in to see what you said about it. I just knew that this was going to be one of your topics.
Well, it has to be. That's what we do here, man.
Sadden their heart, what's happened to poor Mr. Jackson, such a good civil
war.
Sean Daniel has a Zone Radio show Wednesday mornings from 10 to 12 right here on BTR called The Focus Show. Sean, I've got to tell you, what do you think about the decision, right or wrong?
And bro, they didn't give him enough. I mean, shoot. He got off free, and I didn't even know about what you just acknowledged, that the prosecutors didn't even try to go after trying to restore any of that money that was stolen and everything, man.
That's
shameful. That's shameful to the taxpayers.
Well, see,
so basically, you get to do wrong, keep the money, go to jail, come back, and you still live the quality life. I mean, come on, man. The fact of the matter that at least they went ahead and found him guilty and everything was good. I just want to know. Here's the reason I called. That's the old reason I called the clown on this. Where are all the liberals, people, the liberal lefts? Okay, that if this would have been a father and son or the Bushes and everything on the conservative side, that the father and a son of a well established, known leader and everything had done such a thing, the liberals would have been at darn, they would have been had a bonfire and talking about it all day. I want to know where they at right now, talking about their own. I mean, what's up? Yeah, where they at? It's like crickets, man. It's like crickets out here. You don't hear anything.
Well, that reminds me of the restitution issue. I'm glad that Ed asked that about. Normally, as a very libertarian-oriented guy, I would be more concerned with restitution than putting him in a cage.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if you look at this situation, Meeshaun, the people who gave him all this money, they believe in the guy. Look at his election.
Yes, I know. And that's
the guy's
what. And see, now you're leading to why I'm saying there's the crickets. There's the crickets.
10 times for Congress, and every time he's run, or at least the way I'm looking at the numbers here, the last time they finally knew some stuff was coming out. Even the mainstream media, even the Chicago Trib, had to start talking about it a little bit. But 8 of his last 9 elections, he got over 80% of the vote.
Yes.
So they don't want the money back. They want him to have the money.
Yeah.
And we all, here's what I think. I got a name for both of you guys, Mary and Barry. Okay, that's the liberals for you. I mean, Marion Barry was convicted of a felony, cocaine and everything else, and he was able to come back and get elected once again to mayor of Washington just basically as soon as he got out of jail.
You can look at your white Marxist politicians. Look at Jerry Brown in California again.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think, don't you think Wiener is trying to accomplish the same thing? You know, is it, you know... You know, he think he could do, you know, the Wiener think he can, you know, share his wiener and do what he do and come on back and everything, you know.
Well, it doesn't look like it's working to his favor like that.
I think
Wiener has more trouble today than
office.
He's had yet, and I tell you why. Wiener has more trouble today than he has had to face yet, and here's why. Wiener was having an interview on Monday with BuzzFeed Bruce, you know, and he was asked a question essentially. If he knew how Huma Abedin, his wife, who's, you know, everybody knows about her, the ultimate Muslim Brotherhood connection, who's an aide to Hillary Clinton, but he was asked the question, if he knew how his wife was going to fit into the 2016 presidential run for Hillary. And Wiener made a mistake and says, I do, but I'm not telling you how. So we already know
Hillary's
going
to
do this 2016 run.
The thing is, though,
he made that statement. When he was asked how if he knew how she was going to fit in, he says, I do, but I'm not telling you. Well, Clinton spokesman Nick Merrill went on and talked to Politico and told the whole world he has no idea what Wiener is talking about. You know, they doubt that his campaign even does anymore. Basically, Wiener just let the cat out of the bag, and the one thing you don't want to do, especially if you're in his position and you've got his wife to worry about, is piss off the Clintons. And
yeah,
he just did,
you're right.
You know, and
he just did.
So,
I think what's going to happen, Ed, with Wiener, he's going to get probably reelected, or he's going to get elected to the office of Sticky Nail Comptroller.
I'm sorry, but you sound like Larry Sinclair for a minute. This is what's going to happen with Wiener. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think what Wiener should do, in a couple of years, the Obama administration will have to be kicked out of the White House and they'll have to fumigate that place. And there are going to be some people from the Obama administration needing jobs. So I think that Wiener needs to team up with Eric Holder, and they should have a national campaign together so white liberals across the country can put signs in their yards that say Wiener Holder.
Well, they essentially already are anyway. We know it. Here's another thing, too, for you guys. I really want you to think about this as well, because not only did the judge not force these guys to pay restitution and blame it on a prosecutor for not being forceful enough to ask.
Yeah, they blamed it on a prosecutor. That was interesting. Yeah.
Who are they going to restitute, Dad?
The only people they're going to restitute is give money back to either A, the 80% who are so blind that will vote for Jackson in Chicago no matter what, or B, the big globalists who control them. So the globalists have enough money of their own. They don't care about the money. If you ask all those poor downtrodden in Chicago, they say they wanted Jesse to have the money. So that's why this time I'm not worried about restitution.
Well, I personally think this was all a deal to save his daddy, to be honest with you. I really do.
Probably.
Jesse Jackson Sr. is the problem here. And I think at the end of the day, Sr. was told, look, he's going to go to jail to pay the price, you know, and we'll agree not to make you pay any money, but you're going to let him take the hit. Otherwise, we're going to have to go after you. Something here is shut up to protect Jesse Jackson Sr. I'd almost guarantee it.
I just looked at this thing on TV, man, and it just is amazing. I'm a strong believer, okay? But here's what I am not about, okay? Now we're going to go and talk about it. Now you're going to look at the camera. You're going to say, you're going to man up. You're going to own up. And then you're going to say that I believe in redemption, okay? I believe in God. I believe. Let me hear. Where was your God when you was in the cookie jar, buddy?
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
I mean, where was your God when you was concerned about you're popping your collar and looking for fame and looking for position and status. Where we got? But now all of a sudden you find yourself in a heat, and all of a sudden you're going to hear. And this is what angered me, and I said this on my show about black religion. Black religion seems to only want to work for you and everything when you find yourself guilty or find yourself in a situation, and now we ask for God. We, the show, don't do no pre-God actions or promote decency in our behavior and anything, and then we don't hold our people accountable for that. We say redemption. It's okay. God will forgive them. What a hoe. Why can't we hold them accountable to do the right thing in the first start, okay? What's up with that? That's what makes me angry.
Sean, I'm all for free speech, but to me it goes back to like these rappers. How are these rappers out there every other word in their songs, F this and N-word this, and then they get on stage and they thank God for their awards?
Yeah.
Let me make one thing clear here, and I'm totally agreement with you 100% on the rap stuff, man. I really am, because I think it's ridiculous. These guys go out there and preach this hate-filled crap, and then they're the first ones that go out there and praise God for everything they've got, which is false prophets to me. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, the black religion only shows up when they get caught doing something, I mean, in all honesty, though, that's not really a black thing, because, you know, you see so many white guys that are accused of murder and everything else. They get to jail. Oh, well, I found religion. Praise God. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the guilty conscience of anybody. I don't think that race has anything to do with that particular aspect. But I tell you, I've got some serious problems here with this whole Jesse Jackson deal, because not only do we have this to think about, but the judge also went ahead and allowed them to serve their sentences alternately, which means that Jesse Jackson Jr. is going to serve his sentence, his 30-month sentence first, and then once he gets out of jail, then his wife.
How convenient is that, man?
Well, yeah. Would that happen with you and your wife, or me or mine? No, it wouldn't. We'd both go to jail at the same time. The kids would be thrown into, child care or whatever.
They probably had to do that, Ed. I know the liberal thing to say is it's for the children, but they probably had to do it because there's already so many damn Chicago politicians in prison, and they're running out of room for Chicago politicians in prison. There's an overcrowding of Chicago politicians in prison.
In a second too. But, you know, I mean, it is funny, though, because why were they allowed to do that? Nobody else does.
Yeah, that was so convenient. What?
You know, your kids are taken away from you. You're not given that option. My best friends down the road, I'm the godparent of their grandchildren, and they're raising their grandchildren because the parents – were druggies and got in trouble and both went away.
Yeah.
They weren't given an option to have one stay out of jail to take care
their
of their
children wasn't taken under consideration. What's up with
that, man? Yeah, that's it. So I've got a real situation with that, too. And Jackson Jr., of course, gets to basically pick where he wants to go. He decided he wants to take a prison camp in Montgomery or Butner, North Carolina, because he's got friends there, obviously. And Sandy Jackson and his wife, when she goes in 30 months when he gets out, she's wanting to go to a prison camp down in Marianna, Florida. That's about 65 miles outside of Tallahassee. So, yeah, you know, this is their deal. And
wow.
It doesn't make a recommendation to the federal prison.
I think it's their children in a way, Ed, because I don't know how old their children are. But think about the fact you're these children, and when it's all said and done, both your parents are going to be in prison
for one
or another, and your grandpa's Jesse Jackson, for God's sake.
But you're
man, what a legacy, bro. What a legacy.
That's going to be hard on those kids. That's like a meth lab waiting to happen.
Well, you're missing a big picture here, though. You're missing a big picture here, though, I think, because I honestly believe this is a hit that they had to take. And when Jesse gets out and Sandy gets out, they're both going to be rewarded for taking the hit and keeping their mouth shut, and their kids are going to be the next ones in line for the political hierarchy in Chicago. There's no doubt about that in my mind. They're covering for somebody, and that's the way it's going to be. But here's the other interesting aspect of this, too, though. And Dale and Michon, this is really important to me, because Blagojevich, you guys remember him.
He's in prison,
Yeah, he went to jail. He's in jail now, okay? And Jesse Jackson Jr., which started everything that they were looking into for Jesse Jackson Jr., started because Blagojevich offered $6 million
if he was
junior for Barack Obama's vacated seat. Because everybody looked into this. The House Ethics Committee concluded there was probable cause to believe that Jackson was involved in that. There was probable cause to believe that Nayak was going to trade cash for the seat to benefit Jackson. And his dad was implicated in it, Jackson Sr.
Wow.
recordings. They've got federal recordings of this whole situation that Blago admitted that he thought a deal was in the works, that he was working to pay to play, and he was going to grab $1.5 million for his campaign and stuff.
Wow.
Ed, I have to remind
all
the
that
audience.
Disappeared.
Yeah. No, I have to remind the audience, for those who may not know, they're Illinois, and when we say Illinois, it's really just Springfield and Chicago. That's the only place in the state where there's any power. Like we said, we got the Jacksons going to prison. Blago is in prison. He was the last governor of the state, and the last Democrat governor of the state. The Republican governor before him, George Ryan, is still in prison. And the governor Jim Edgar, just got out of prison.
Yeah, the last year governor's been
governor
to prison.
Illinois all have
right.
been prison
last,
in the last
yeah.
few years.
Wow, the government system in Chicago is just corrupt, man.
Oh, there's no doubt. It's mafia.
The other news,
right.
the sky is blue, right?
But, you know, but the one thing they can make stick is this pay-to-play and everything else. Jackson trying to buy this seat. They could go to Jackson Sr. and hold him accountable for that. And that's where I think the trade-off occurred. Junior takes the heat. We give him a small sentence in a cushy prison where he can play tennis every day if he wants to, whatever the hell he likes to do. You know, we'll give him this small thing in a cushy prison. We won't take the $750,000 out of your pocket. He takes the hit.
Right.
And we keep you out of jail for trying to help be involved in buying the seat for him. And I think that's the deal. I really do. I think that's the deal. That's what they're doing to save Jesse Jackson Sr. And, you know, it's appalling. Nobody's went down that road. Miraculously, when you look at the mainstream media reports, they've ignored that, and I have no idea why. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we really want to switch into some things. I tell you, I want to get into some of this Navy SEAL stuff, the Benghazi stuff, and what's really going on out there. We have a lot to cover with that, so let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Hey, guys, how many times has it happened to you that you've been driving down the road, just minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield? Of course, now you have this ding, you have this crack. It's right in your line of sight. It drives you crazy. Don't worry. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. You heard me right. No cost to you, no deductible. Call Huntsman Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. And remember, Huntsman Auto Glass is where they'll fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Times two.
get over it, as the Eagles say. I'd say it is hilarious to me when I look at things that are going on today, and people whine and cry, but they don't really do anything to get involved. And that's where we're different here. We get involved. We file charges. We do the investigations. We do it all. And don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com, and you'll see a lot of what I'm talking about. And while you're there, join our RSS feed and our email newsletter, and maybe click on a sponsor or two. That'll help us pay for this show. Dale, we are back. And I tell you, you know, it's interesting and everything else to talk about Chicago politics and the Jacksons and the three former governors that are all in jail. But, you know, a lot of people wonder why you focus so much time on Chicago. Well, I tell you why we focus so much time on Chicago. Because that's Osama bin Laden's home. That's where he's from. He grew up learning from all of these guys, including terrorist Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers is a terrorist, a known terrorist, who was rewarded by teaching in our public university system, teaching terrorism and communism to our young adults. So this is Barack Obama. This is who he came up with. And, you know, there are a lot of things that have happened under Obama that are now really starting to be questioned. Maybe that's Obama's fault for going after the press and trying to shut them up illegally wiretapping. I don't know. But at least the press is finally trying to do something.
Ed, did you mean to say Obama learned from them? You said Osama bin Laden.
Oh, well, I meant either or. Either or. Which way do you want to go?
The liberals were really accepting that. I thought it was funny. You said Osama bin Laden. I didn't know he was in Chicago.
Well, you know, I mean, really, what's the difference? Because based on what Obama allowed to happen in Benghazi, does that make him any better than Osama bin Laden?
Oh, the globalists are all in bed together, so no.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it. Because on the Navy, you know, here's a disturbing report coming from the Blaze. You know, you guys can take it for what it's worth. A lot of people don't like sources, but we also use liberal rags like Huffington Post, Courier Journal, New York Times, all these other things is what we use. This particular story comes from the Blaze. And on the day the Navy SEALs were raiding Osama bin Laden's compound, you know, and they ultimately ended up killing him, or at least were told that for the 10th time, you know, apparently President Obama wasn't too concerned about what was going on, so he decided he wasn't going to stay in the White House Situation Room. Instead, he decided to go to a private dining room and play spades all day. He was in a private dining room playing spades with his former personal assistant and gay lover, Reggie Love. Yeah, I said gay lover. You heard me right. Wow. I'm not shy. I firmly believe that they are. You know, Reggie Love is the one who told the whole world this. You know, Reggie Love went public, and it was quoted in the Blaze as saying most people were down in the Situation Room, and Obama was like, I'm not going to be down there. I can't watch this entire thing. So they decided to go ahead and go to a private dining room and spend their time playing cards. Does it sound like Obama took anything serious?
Well, I did take it seriously, but again, we don't know so much of what's going on in there. You look at what's happened with Benghazi, and I know that's what you want to get into. I mean, I talked about this last week, the Benghazi gate thing. You can see that CNN's Jake Tapper even had to reintroduce that story to the U.S. media, and the report claims that dozens of CIA operatives were on the cuff on that. Again, we know there's a lot more to it than we're being told. We know that I think that this has a single and divine purpose, and that's to hide the CIA's culpability in supplying arms to the non-extremists and liberty in Syria.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I think this whole thing started right there with the bin Laden raid, and that it all started with the Navy SEALs. I mean, what's really shocking to me is after this, the Navy SEALs took out Osama bin Laden. The day that the Chinook helicopter was shot down, there are so many things that completely defy protocol and normal operations. You could write a book about it. Some people are, actually. But basically, Vice President Biden, right after the bin Laden operation was completed, Vice President Biden, one of the guys who's touting Barack Obama's regime, and they want to go after Edward Snowden for treason and all the other stuff, you know, Vice President Biden is the one who went out publicly and started gloating about the killing of Osama bin Laden and named Navy SEAL Team 6.
Are we talking about the last time they killed bin Laden?
Huh?
Are we talking about the last time that they killed bin Laden?
Yeah, the 2011.
Okay, remember, I mean, their own reports was like 8 or 9 times that we killed them, so I want to make
sure.
Well,
that's why I said this for the 10th time. We're supposed to believe this one. But the reality is that Joe Biden went out there and gave out classified information on the public airways by telling the whole world that Navy SEAL Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden. Well, at that point, what happens? Now Navy SEAL Team 6 is a target. They're a target. And it's shocking. It's shocking to hear that, and most people don't want to think about that, and most people kind of ignored that when it happened. But now here we are a couple of years later, and we're looking at this, and according to family members, SEAL Team family members, the SEAL Team 6 was just completely stunned. You know, one of the guys, Aaron Vaughn, he was one of the SEALs that was killed, told his mom right after Biden went forward, to contact his mom and his family members and told them to get rid of any and all personal information that they possibly had on any social media sites that could be found. They needed to delete every reference to any personal information, any reference to SEAL Team 6. They don't care if it was, you know, posted a story from somebody else. It didn't matter. Get rid of everything because it was going to identify them, and they were a target. And he told her, you know, you got to take everything down. Biden just put a target on us, and bam, of course, he was one of them that was killed. So here you've got Biden sitting out here doing a treasonous act, outing the SEAL Team 6 members that led to their death, and some believe, and there might be some validity to it, I'm not going too deep with the conspiracy yet, but some believe the White House was involved in that, and I could see why they would believe that based on some of the evidence that we've seen. So, you know, why are we worried about Snowden when we've got a White House who is the most traitorous people that I've ever seen in leadership?
No, I mean, I can't disagree. I mean, Joe Biden, just the two words alone is a punchline. Joe Biden is a punchline, and I never want to sound like the neocons who want to compare what Democrats do to Republicans do. I'm going to have to do it this time, because remember, for 12 years, all we heard was what a buffling idiot Vice President George Herbert Walker, New World Order Bush, was, and all we heard about was what a bumbling idiot Dan Quayle was. Is there any doubt out there that Joe Biden is a huge disgrace? But because he has all the union thugs backing, and he has all the old ladies who are going through menopause backing, he's okay, and he's the biggest punchline out there.
But you know, is he that much? Is he just that? Is he really a buffoon, or is he somebody who's very smart and a very good opportunist?
No, I don't think he's a buffoon. But my point is the stuff that he does would be just like we said with the Jacksons. If this was a Republican, especially a black Republican, they call him Uncle Tom, so we'll just stick with Republican. If this was a Republican, think about how PMSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and NPR would all make this the top story for the next week. But Joe Biden says stuff all the time. Look at the crap about Joe Biden when he was telling people, telling about how women should defend themselves with guns. You know, at the same time, we're told that Homeland Security hates us, that we need to get rid of all our guns because Homeland Security doesn't want us having them. And Joe Biden says that that's the way that women should protect themselves is with guns.
Oh, there's no doubt. And hypocrisy is just crazy. It's just crazy. And, you know, and this leads us to other things, because here we've got, you know, the vice president being a traitor and selling out SEAL Team 6. Okay, so we've got all this going on. We find out, even more disturbing news, that this was basically, that this whole Benghazi operation was pretty much over 400 missiles that we were trying to cover up. You know, that's right. According to attorney Joe DeGenova, and I hope I pronounced that right, he's representing one of the Benghazi whistleblowers, talked on a Washington radio station Monday, and said that there was a theft of 400 surface-to-air missiles by what he terms as very ugly people. You know, when you look at this, you know, according to this attorney, Obama revealed last Friday's news conference that there was a sealed indictment against a Benghazi suspect or suspects. So this White House is out here telling the whole world what's going on and who did it. I can't see how we can't say that that is treason. You know, and DeGenova goes on to say he doesn't know if the missiles were actually physically at the CIA annex on the night of September the 12th. But it is very clear that the CIA annex that claimed the life of Ambassador Chris Stevens and three SEAL members, it's very clear that the Annex was involved in the process of distributing those missiles. What does that say?
Well, it says that they're in on the corruption, and that's what I'm talking about. The Biden thing, his humor he puts out there, it's all to cover up the involvement that they have in this situation. Like you said, Snowden, you have a Snowden, or you have a Bradley Manning, or you have a Julian Assange. Any of these guys tell the truth about what our government's doing. Look at this Michael Hastings. I know you want to get into Michael Hastings. He was investigating the CIA director, John Brennan, and all of a sudden his car exploded.
Yep, and there's a great video out today, by the way, for anybody who apparently there was a video. I mean, let's go ahead and get into Hastings for a minute before we'll get back to Benghazi in a second. But apparently there was a video that was part of a security camera on a building or something, and it captured the explosion off of Michael Hastings' car. And I'm putting that in the chat room right now, folks, so you can look at the videos there yourself. There we go. I believe they're up. So Michael Hastings was investigating, and this is a very interesting story as well. I'm glad you brought it up. He was investigating CIA Director John Brennan. According to San Diego 6 News reporter Kim Dvorak, John Brennan was Michael Hastings' next expose. She received an email from the CIA who actually acknowledged that Hastings was working on a CIA story. But, you know, of course, they didn't give us the email. So how do we get into this? How do we get into this? I mean, Michael Hastings became a household name because of WikiLeaks and everything else, and Petraeus and all of that stuff. So, you know, how do we get to CIA Director John Brennan? You know, we know that the car has been exploded. We know that Hastings was scared. He sent an email just a few hours before his death, said he needed to go off the radar for a bit. Most people to do what we do, understand what it means, you got to go into hiding because somebody's after you. You know what I mean? And CIA agents, you know, it has been confirmed by a friend of Hastings, the CIA agents, or agents, I should say, from an unnamed federal agency, guarantee it was a CIA, showed up at Hastings' door the day before his death. So hours later, he said he had to go off the radar for a bit. Isn't that a pretty telltale sign that something's not quite right?
Well, if you look at the story with Hastings, he was investigating Brennan, and again, at the time, before his untimely death, a suspicious car accident, he had a report that is still going to be published posthumously by Rolling Stone. Give Rolling Stone some credit. They took a lot of slack for putting the alleged Boston bomber on the cover, but you got to respect Rolling Stone. These are the guys that used to have the late, great Louisville Gonzo himself, Hunter S. Thompson, who was a hero of mine, or working for them, and in the next 2 weeks, they're going to put out this report posthumously that Michael Hastings was working on. And basically, this expose he was doing was a big CIA story. And it goes back to a Stratfor email that was hacked by WikiLeaks and first published last year, which names Brennan as being, quote, behind the witch hunt of investigative journalists learning information from inside the Beltway sources.
Yep. Yep, you're absolutely right. That was out by WikiLeaks. And, you know, I mean, they had information to back that up, you know. And, you know, the email goes on further to say there's a specific task from the White House to go after anyone printing materials negative to the Obama agenda, and even the FBI is shocked. You know, and what people need to know about Brennan is, you know, Brennan was sworn in, before he became the CIA director in March of this year. Brennan was a counterterrorism advisor for the Obama administration. He's the one who put together the kill list for the White House drone assassination program, folks. And then we've got expert San Diego State University professor Morteza Mirabadi. He's the professor and interim chair. His areas of specialization are mechanics of materials. And he's saying that Hastings wasn't speeding before his Mercedes hit a tree like we're being told he was. And according to what he believes from the footage, there are eyewitness reports that said that Hastings' car had an explosion before it ever hit the tree. You know, and then when you look at what they're trying to sell us is the car is up against the tree, nose first, right, Dale?
Yep.
The front of the car is up against the tree, practically centered, which is something that don't ever happen in a wreck like that. Yeah. And the engine and drivetrain are 100 feet in front of the car. And the tree itself doesn't look like it even has a scratch. Go ahead.
No, and the thing about it, Hastings sent an email just hours before his death, and we all know that they're all watching all our emails. Hell, look what they did to my email provider, LavaBit. They forced LavaBit closed because they were trying to get them to share information they had about Ed Snowden. So we know that Hastings sent an email that he was onto a big story and needed to go off the radar for a bit. This was just emails before or hours before his death. And then another close friend of his said that his home had been visited by government agents from unnamed federal agencies the day before he was, I say, killed.
Right, and that's exactly what we pointed out a second ago, and that's the whole point here. You know, and then you've got the car that's centered on a palm tree, a thin palm tree at that. We know palm trees blow over all the time. You know, you've got a car that hits this palm tree with that kind of such a significant force that it knocks the engine and transmission 100 feet in front of it, and it doesn't hardly scratch the tree at all. The tree itself wasn't burned from the so-called car fire. And, you know, additionally, how in the hell does an engine and drivetrain, you know, if the car is hit in the center of the hood like this appears to be, how the hell does an engine and drivetrain go around the palm tree on impact and still fly 100 feet forward?
Well, how does it happen with a car? How does it happen with a car that was only traveling at approximately 35 miles per hour, according to Professor Murbati, who was talking about this, that the distance traveled by the car on a surveillance clip and the time elapsed put him to going 35 miles per hour, not speeding, as the reports claim.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, so here you've got this explosion that happened before impact, which clearly is going to slow down the car anyway, right? So you've got an explosion. You've got a slowed-down car. A car that hits a palm tree right in the center. There's essentially no damage to the palm tree. The rear tires are actually resting against the curb, not on top of it. You know, so you've got all of these different facts coming together, and nothing is being done by this White House. Nothing is being done by this White House. You know, and that is very, very disturbing because we're still not going to get any answers. So now Michael Hastings, and you know, thank God for Rolling Stone in this particular case, because from what I understand, I believe I read it earlier, where Rolling Stone is actually going to go ahead and out the Michael Hastings story and go ahead and put that out in the next couple of weeks in our next edition.
Yeah. That's right? Yeah, they're going to put that story out hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, good. And I'm looking forward to seeing that story because it's very disturbing. You know, so you throw all that on top. You've got this going on with the CIA targeting reporters. You know, of course, we know that the AP and everybody else, they have been hacked. You've got Benghazi. Man, the list is so long. It's incredible. And, you know, so now we know that the CIA probably took out Michael Hastings. We know that the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi was attacked essentially because they were involved in trying to move 400 surface-to-air missiles that nobody knew was there. You know, we've got all of these things going on, and still nothing is being done. And now we know, thank you, as far as Benghazi is concerned, now we know, according to DJ Genova, you know, that his sources, guys that were actually there, said there was plenty of troops ready to go to Croatia. They were going to help out in Benghazi rescue Americans. You know, they don't want, the administration does not want anybody to know about the 400 surface-to-air missiles, so they decided they were going to make everybody stand down to try to cover their own ass. They didn't care about American lives. Not one bit did they care about that. So you've got former intelligence officers who are going to stay in this and tell the whole world about it. You know, once again, man, I'm trying to find a good way to put this, but let's be real here. You start with Fast and Furious and move forward to Benghazi all the way to Michael Hastings. Why is it that we, the American people, are not taken to the streets in an uproar and having this guy taken from office and impeached? Why is everybody scared to talk about impeachment? We even had a Republican congressman the other day say that they probably had enough votes right now in the House to impeach Obama, but it would die in the Senate, so they just didn't want to go through the effort. They learned their lesson after Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton lied about a blowjob. It didn't cost American lives, people. It didn't cost American lives. Why are the American people, why are we not holding our Congress accountable for doing their job?
Well, I've said it before. I think that the Congress people aren't holding them responsible and aren't going to have impeachment hearings get far as the House goes Well, and we'll never get anywhere in the Senate, but even the Republicans in the House are scared because they're afraid that the people will vote them out of office. They're afraid that their own secrets will come out. And what's embarrassing is you look at someone like Michael Steele, if you remember this guy, he was the token black chairman of the Republican National Committee for a couple of years. You know, he's famous for being chairman of the RNC when Obama got reelected. That's what he's known for. So now they love him over on PMSNBC. And he was on PMSNBC, and I actually caught the clip of this, and he told them the exact same thing. When they asked him about impeachment, he said, well, the Republicans in the House will never let impeachment get anywhere because they'll be afraid that they'll be all voted out.
Yep, and that's exactly it. So they're more concerned with getting the vote and staying in their own ego and their own power than they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is look after the best interests of the American people.
Always.
See, that's always been the problem with me, and it continues to be, and I am very disturbed by all of this. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, and I'll tell you something else that's really disturbing, too. I mean, you know, if we don't think that there's some kind of a new world order, some kind of a global plan going on, people, think again. Because, you know, you look at other reports, and this is from the Huffington Post, a liberal rag, right? But Egypt's police and military stormed Muslim Brotherhood protest sites in Egypt Wednesday morning. Killed a bunch of protesters and wounded a whole lot more. You know, but the reality is, this is an Egyptian military-backed government that ousted the Egyptian elected president, Morsi. Doesn't matter whether you agree with the guy or not, he was elected. And according to our constitution and our rules, we can no longer give foreign aid to Egypt. Rand Paul tried to stop that just a couple of weeks ago. And he was told to shut up. They weren't going to do it anyway. And they sent all this money to Egypt and basically financial aid that isn't going to do anything for the people of Egypt. You know, so we're sending financial aid to places like Egypt who have no democratically elected leader against our own laws to do so because Obama wants it done. That's just another disturbing thing. That's how you reward the Muslim Brotherhood, right?
Well, the thing about Egypt, and the latest news I'm seeing from today from Reuters, is you have up to hundreds killed now as the security forces and the protesters are clashing, and they're trying to clamp down on protesters, and the protesters are demanding that they reinstate Mohamed Morsi as the deposed president.
Right.
And the troops are opening fire on a demonstrator, and it's bringing chaos to the area, and it's starting to further polarize Egypt's 84 million people between those who back Morsi and the millions who oppose his brief rule. So you got these streets around historical places like Cairo, where thousands of Morsi supporters have sit-ins, and riot police, you know, we've seen this in the United States, riot police wearing gas masks are crouching behind their armored vehicles. You know, they won't go out and take on the protesters man-to-man. They got to have their giant Bearcat vehicles that we see across the country here. And they have tear gas hung in the air and burning tires, sending black smoke in the sky. They're scared of the protesters, and I don't blame them because, again, these are the people who want their president back in, and we should be not involved at all, we being the U.S. government.
I'm in total agreement with you, and that's what I found very, very disturbing. You know, and here's another disturbing thing. You know, you talk about here we are, we don't have any money, we're sending money to Egypt illegally, and I agree with Rand Paul on that. You know, and then we've got to look at Obamacare and the things the president is doing now, trying to delay different parts of Obamacare until after elections in 2014, the midterm elections. You know, this is nothing more than pure politics to try to keep seats. So, you know, again, the American people are being denied. And I want to ask you something, because I saw an article today, and I thought this was very interesting. And I wonder how this will affect Obamacare going forward, and if we're going to be able to get this resolved before the midterm elections. But a federal appeals court ruled yesterday that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been violating federal law because they continue delaying a decision on a nuclear waste dump in Nevada. All right, there was a 2-1 vote. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ordered the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to complete the licensing process and either approve or reject the application for a never-completed waste storage site in Nevada's Yukon Mountain. And what that basically says is this. The court said the nuclear agency was flouting the law when it allowed the Obama administration to continue plans to close this waste site 90 miles northwest of Las Vegas. It goes against a federal law designating the mountain as the nation's nuclear waste repository. And to give a quote here, Judge Brett Kavanaugh wrote the majority opinion. He was joined by Judge Raymond Randolph. And he said the president may not decline to follow a statutory mandate or prohibition simply because of policy objections. Now, with this ruling, isn't that essentially what Barack Obama is doing with Obamacare right now?
Well, of course it is. I mean, the Obamacare, nobody wants it. Even the unions that backed them are now backing away from Obamacare. They're all walking it back now. And this is the reason they're trying to put all this off until after the elections. They don't want it to hurt the Democrats who are backing them. Many Democrats stay away from it. You have people like John Yarmuth who, you know, on a rare occasion, he'll vote with us on something about the police state, but then he loves Obamacare. And, again, look what he has to lose, and look where his industry money is hidden at. So, you know, there are a few people out there who are going to speak their mind about it. Most of the congressmen are trying to stay away from Obamacare, and they're doing their best to delay it until after the next elections so it won't lose them all these seats in the House and Senate.
Right. That's exactly it. They're trying to put a one-year delay so nothing goes into effect until January of 2015, 2 months after the 2014 midterm elections.
Right.
You know, and that ought to be pretty automatic for people to understand what's really going on here. But it's very, very fascinating because this particular decision, and I ran across this by accident. I wasn't even looking at it. But when you look at this, the Obama administration has continually ignored the statutory language in the Affordable Care Act, because they're trying to delay the employer mandate, out-of-pocket caps, and all kinds of other things until after the 2014 elections. You know, Rand Paul was right, and Rand Paul said this is illegal, that he has to go back to Congress, and Congress has to make those decisions. And I personally, it's right. Rand Paul is right. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it at all. But we do have some court cases out there right now involving Obamacare, and I think ultimately that this decision can be brought up and used as part of that argument, and hopefully it'll force them to at least take it back to Congress, and then and only then will we have these guys on record with some kind of a vote. Dale, man, we're at the end of the hour, brother. I tell you what, it's crazy. Go ahead and give us your final thoughts, my friend.
Well, we've been over the map, but the final thoughts is the government's doing exactly what they do to cover their asses, and they want to get reelected, and this is why I say I'm not gung-ho on the whole recently come back up every few years. People start talking about term limits. How are you going to get the politicians to agree to limit their own terms when you, the people, we, the people, however you want to verbalize it, the people elect them, and they don't go out there and do anything. And we're told that we are the government, and I used to believe that when I was in the government indoctrination camps called public schools, because why wouldn't the government schools tell you that you're the government? And now we see we're not the government. We see what the corruption's like when Jesse Jackson Jr. is allowed to run rapid in Chicago. We see what the corruption's like when your U.S. government's allowed to get involved in all these skirmishes around the world, around the globe. So we need to keep the government back at home. We need to spend that money on our own people at home, and we need to stop trying to police the world. Stand up to the police state and say death to your new world order.
Well, it's well said, Dale, and I tell you honestly, I've got something else here I'd really like to point out. The Washington Examiner, and I just put a link in the chat room for it, they actually did a poll talking about all kinds of things, and what they found out is that for Democrats, the American dream is gone. In a YouGov poll, a new poll, 53% of Democrats say that the American dream is no longer achievable, while only 27% think it is. That should tell you something, folks. That should tell you something. You know, with the questions along the line of do you think that the American dream has become impossible for most people to achieve, you know, and overall 41%, to include Democrats and Republicans overall, say it's impossible for most to achieve. And less than that said it's still possible. That tells you what's going on with this country. The Democrats, the liberals, the tax and spend guys who destroyed this country financially are sitting here saying the American dream is dead. They just don't understand why. That's what happens when you get somebody in so-called leadership that hasn't got a clue what they're doing. Now, we know publicly about the big losses. The Americans, the guys, their lives have been Gaza. We know how many people are killed in the wars. We know what's going on with the deaths there. or at least the version that our American president and his staff will tell us. But we get to hear about those deaths. What about the lives that are lost every day due to poverty and starvation? Because when you look at things like this, folks, and you're told that the American dream is dead, most Democrats, liberals, believe that. That tells you that even the Democrats and liberals know that their policies have failed the American people. But we don't get to talk about those people who starved because of those policies. We don't get to talk about those people who froze to death on a street in the middle of the winter. We don't get to talk about those people who died due to heat stroke because they had nowhere to get any water and no place to get out of the sun in the middle of summer. These are lives that are dying every day across every city in America because of these liberal policies. And that's what happens when you create a handout generation who takes no personal responsibility and has no opportunity for themselves to provide and succeed. Oh, there's opportunity out there. I don't believe the American dream is dead. But I think the liberal logic has convinced the majority of Americans that they have no shot at the brass ring, that they can't get ahead. The logic today out of these kids coming out of school means that they want to be the CEO of a company as soon as they graduate college. They think that they should do that. They don't know what it's like to work on that daggone line, afford to build that daggone car that they want to drive around in. They don't have a clue. They don't want to work to get ahead because the government has convinced everybody, the liberal logic has convinced everybody, that every one of them is a CEO of a company. You can have a whole world full of chiefs, folks, but if you don't have any Indians out there fighting for food, somebody's going to starve to death. And that's where we are today. So if the liberals believe the American dream is gone, then the liberals need to get out their butt and start looking at alternatives and holding their leadership accountable. I'm a conservative. I admit it freely. I don't hide from it. I don't lie about it. I have social tendencies that make me somewhat of a liberal. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm a conservative. And I do know that my lot in life is dictated by how hard I'm willing to work to get ahead. There are sacrifices to be made. Yes, I make them every day. But you know what? So far, knock on wood, I'm not living on the street and I'm not living on your tax dollar. And that's because I refuse to be treated as a victim by a runaway liberal logic. So it's time to get up, shape up, and get involved, folks. That's all I can tell you. That's it for tonight. Dale, thank you so much. Anything on the agenda for tomorrow?
Well, we got a few things we may talk about. Again, we try to search out the stuff that nobody else is talking about. So, again, we'll probably talk a little bit about what's really going on with Egypt, and maybe we'll get a little bit more into Snowden, and maybe we'll even talk about another situation where supposedly someone committed suicide, and that was Secret Service monitoring the late Reddit co-founder Aaron Schwartz.
Well, there you go. All right, man. Folks, look forward to that show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Dale the Truth right here on the MVM Radio Network. And don't forget our good friend Ken Molman at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights with Liberty Unbridled. And I'll see you guys again next Monday. Take care. Have a great week. Thank you so much for joining us. See you.